Hello, everyone. Today I have Joseph. Joseph, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Joseph. So I'm a tech artist, mostly in Unreal, and I'm very generalist when it came to that. So I specialize in all the systems almost. And then what else? I also did some teaching related to game development, of course. Had a VR startup at some point, and then I worked at Epic Games for 5 years as an evangelist, where I traveled the Middle East, North Africa, and Turkey. And after that, I was at Romero Games, working on a unannounced title. Yeah, that's about it. I like building cool shit. It's we can what's it called? We can swear on the stream, right?
Of course, of fucking course. Okay. Sorry, I forgot.
It's all right. Yeah, I build things in games and outside of games, and that's about it.
That's awesome. How are you? But you didn't mention the main thing that you're doing right now, right?
What you're supposed to ask about it.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Without you asking?
Yes. Okay. It's official.
Fine. Fine. Yeah, so I'm also working on Arabic Games Conference, which is a game developer conference focusing on people in the Middle East. The talks are in Arabic. We provide mentorship, CV portfolio review.
Awesome.
We highlight the local games by doing the showcase. So if you're if you speak Arabic or are based in the Middle East and you want to get into games, or you are working on a game and you want to get more support, or you want to connect with other developers, I would highly recommend the event. Just go to arabic.games/conference and you'll find all the information there.
Awesome. That's so cool. And it's very soon, right? Like from the time of recording this?
Exactly 3 weeks minus 1 day. So
wow. In 3 weeks. So that is November
sure.
29th, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
It will be all day. It's online. It's free. And yeah, you should participate for sure.
How is the journey building something like this? I would imagine it being super difficult.
Definitely. And you're giving a talk at the conference, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
In case you didn't know. So how is the journey of building this? Okay, it's long. It's complicated. Well, it started maybe like, I don't know, 7 years ago when I was already doing community events in Lebanon with some friends, and I felt there was a lack of event in the region. There were like maybe one conference, but there's still a lot of space to have more. And, you know, we wanted to do a conference, but it was too expensive. And lucky for us, COVID happened and, you
yeah.
know, the whole world shut down. Everyone was on their computer, and it was an opportunity for us to do a online event since everyone was doing online.
Yeah.
And that made things a lot easier. So we started contacting speakers and trying to just do a get together online where people share knowledge in Arabic. And over the years, we started having more and more ambitions. So it was like, okay, this is how we want to help developers. They need this and that. So we added mentorship sessions, CV reviews, the game showcase. And every year we wanted to do something even bigger. So at some point we even did the event in online and in Egypt at the same time in person. So that was a lot of work, especially for our team, because we were 4 to 5 volunteers in general. And we were working with volunteers, for example, even for the event. So like the Egyptian event, we had 12 volunteers that we all recruited basically a day before the event and onboarded.
Wow.
But yeah, so we survived, we did the event, and then we decided maybe we should either get more money to do something proper at the scale, because even though we managed to do it the first time, when you do everything with no money, it does increase a lot the work and the stress. And I didn't want to put my team back into that amount of stress. Or we tried that for a bit, and then after that, we just went back, decided to just go for online events because we have the formula for that. We've been doing it for years. And yeah, that's the whole event.
So here's a question, actually, that I was wondering about, because as someone who grew up in the Arab world, as you did as well, I didn't think there were any Arab game developers, like, whatsoever. Were you shocked by the number of signups in the beginning?
No. So the thumb thing is, I worked at, you know, when I worked at Epic, I was traveling the Middle East. So I met those developers. I went to different countries, different communities, reached out to people. You know, I grew up in Lebanon. I was making games in Lebanon. I was doing the events there. So I had an idea of what numbers to expect. I wasn't shocked at all. If anything, I felt lucky to witness something form out of nothing. I mean, I've been in the game industry, if we're just counting when I started trying to make games, maybe like 15 years at this point. And during that period, it went from, oh, there's like two small studios making games in Lebanon to, oh, we have a community now. We have
Wow.
multiple studios opening up. A game conference happened for the first time.
Hell yeah.
It grew, then it closed down. Another one happened, you know, and that's the thing with the region. You keep seeing a lot of things forming and shutting down all the time, but overall, it was like growing. And then the last 2 years, of course, you had Saudi Arabia doing more investment in their country, and then that also put them a bit on the map. So there's some countries who are doing okay, and there's some countries who are still, you know, need to do some work. It really depends. So usually our signups, most of them, they come from Egypt, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and I'm hoping to do more with Jordan. So basically, those are the four countries that it's like mostly, and then the rest is spread all over. Not that there isn't any activity. Like I know, for example, Tunis has a lot of game developers. Iraq has a good amount of game developers. Yeah, it's still stuff that we're working on.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're still working on the outreach or because I would imagine like and like such a community that is kind of like everybody knows each other in a way, but at the same time like no one knows anybody. Like you were shocked, right? At least I was shocked like to know that oh my God, you're from Lebanon, you're like an exceptionally great technical artist. Like what? All right, let's get to know each other. But it's not like we all like have this telepathy where we know each other. I feel like special people like Arabs in the who are living not in the Arab world are not as connected. So I really appreciate events like this.
Well, yes, though at the same time, you are more connected than you think. So between me and my team, we're spread all over, you know, the region, and we go to local events and we connect with a lot of people and everything. So usually the odds, if I don't know you directly, I know someone who knows you directly. Look, there's probably just one person link between me and whoever's attending that conference. Yeah. So it is a definitely it's a small industry, and it's even smaller if you're just separating by the people who speak Arabic. And every year, you know, the conference has been a good excuse to try to find these people. So if someone tells me like, oh, there's a game developer who, if I didn't have a conference, right, would I try to connect with every developer that is from the Arab world? Like, it's kind of
True.
gives me more motivation to do that, and which is good.
And also, like, if you're navigating the game dev world in the lens of like wanting to learn the craft and be good at the craft and also working with the craft, your focus is not, categorizing people, right? You're going at it as you're going at it, and you're more likely going to meet people who are non-Arabs than Arabs in this industry.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's I mean, I think my network at this point is pretty good. I think I've been to way too many conferences this year.
Awesome.
I was counting the trips, and I think I've done 15 trip this year.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. I said I'm gonna slow down this year, and I did a terrible job at it.
Were you doing it also like as you were having a job at the same time?
Oh God, yes. It was bad. I mean, I got shredded, like, because you know you have limited dates, right? So sometimes you can't take the days off. So
Exactly.
what you have to do is work and be at a conference. So you'll be like joining your work calls, and then you have to travel in a way that doesn't interrupt, but also the flight has to be cheap. So one time I had like early day flight, so I would have to stay up late to finish some work for the next day, so I don't have to do too much work at the conference, and then get them on an early flight. And then the first day of that conference, people will be talking to me, and I'm just like a zombie walking at this point. But yeah, and then I take a couple of days off. So I was trying to like find the right balance of taking a few days off and the rest being able to work and still attending those conferences. You can't just keep put your life on pause every time there's something. So, oh, you're gonna hang out with friends 1 hour after you land. Like, it's like
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
you just squeeze in and you just try to live a normal life. There's no such thing as like, oh, I just came back, I'm gonna rest for a few days.
Yeah, you also have to work at the same time. And also, even if you took it off and you went, to the conference, that's still work. It's not really.
Well, technically, it's complicated. One, it is work, yes, but work won't see it as work unless they approve it as training. The problem is approving a training mean they, if they approve a training, they have to cover it themselves,
Yep.
cost-wise.
Now I was more talking like it is a lot of work in the sense of like
Oh.
it's a job on its own. Because I when I first started with Path Out, like we would be invited around 15 times, I would say, a year. And that was before COVID. And I was having like my full-time job that was not related to game dev at all, right? And all my vacation went into that. So the whole year I had no vacation,
I
and
know.
I've had a crash after 3 years, but it's
Dude, one time I not one time, I actually this year I went to Brazil for actual vacation because luckily Romero Games shut down. Microsoft cut the funding and whatever, and the whole studio shut down. And I was like, great, I need a vacation. That was the first thought that came to mind. I mean, obviously it's a great studio and I'd love to come back and everything, but and then I go to Brazil and I was happy and I come back and I talk to the people I know at conferences. I was like, hey, when was the last time you went to vacation? And they're like, well, I went to Reboot. I was like, well, technically that's still work. I was like, yeah, but Reboot is like,
Oh my
yeah,
God.
I think everyone in this industry is a workaholic.
Absolutely.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Keep in mind, right? I was doing my job, I was doing the conference. I was preparing a talk because I have to do gift presentations at conferences. That's how you get like access to make them affordable. So there's that. And now you have Arabic Games, and I was trying to build my plant watering system thing because when you travel a lot, your plants start dying, and then you start designing a system that can take care of them, only to realize that once you fix a problem, there's a new one that pops up. Like, oh, okay, you made it automatically water itself, but then now it was a heat wave, and then there was a cold wave, and then the plant got drowned, and then it got dried, and
Wow.
then, okay, now you have type of insects, fungus, whatever,
Wow.
moisture, you need to add a fan. It's the winter next to the window, they get cold, they die, whatever. There's not enough sun, you have to put lights. And, I felt bad because it's been like 3 years that I'm designing the system at this point. And then I recently watched a video about vertical plants and how you make
Oh,
them.
okay.
And this video started with, there has been a lot of startup trying to solve these. And every time they do them, they eventually fail because they keep getting into, and they started mentioning all the problems I'm facing. And I was like, ha ha, people with more money than me failed. So I don't feel as bad as failing at this. By the way, the whole thing is just because I like cooking and I just needed herbs to cook with them, and I'm too lazy to go to the supermarket and buy them.
3 years later.
It was not supposed to be like that. This is version 6 of the system, and now I have to do like a custom valve that automatically shut down when the water. So, because I want everything mechanical, but then I'm afraid that the roots would block it. And anyway, fun.
Wow, like you're doing a lot. Yeah. So many interests in so many aspects. That's crazy.
Yep. And I
Wow.
have a social life.
You still have a social life? Are you
Yeah.
sure? With the
Yeah.
plants, maybe.
No. I have some for good friends, being out, bars and stuff. So yeah, no, I managed to juggle a lot of things, but yeah. And I sleep a lot. I think I recharge a lot as well.
Wow, I mean, I have not talked to anybody on this podcast where it was the fact that they sleep a lot at the end. Like they do a lot, that's been coming,
Yeah.
over and over again, but sleeping a lot, that kind
Well,
of never came around.
because you do a lot of things where you don't get to sleep. So eventually, when you get the chance to sleep, you just sleep. Like, there might be a day where I'll just stay in bed the whole time. Just like,
Whoa, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean that sounds. What got you into building that system? Is it?
I don't know, but recently a lot of the plants got infected and died, and for a second I was like, what if I leave them dead? Wouldn't be nice, it would be free.
I don't have any plants at home because they're just a pain in the butt to take care of. I have
Yeah.
cats, but like when you're describing how it is to take care of plants, I can't complain about cats anymore. Because like with cats, you kind of have to decide. You either feed them wet food or dry food. The
Or
problem
both.
with wet food is all the automatical wet food feeders suck because they use refrigerators. Like
I mean,
refrigerator tech, I guess.
yeah,
Yeah.
at least your cat is not a diva or anything, because some cats, like, unless you're feeding me yourself, I'm not eating this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, my cats are a bit different, but at the same time, like we tried this fridge system and they hate
Yeah.
the sound, right?
Yeah.
So we can't feed them automatically wet food, right? So I was
Yeah.
trying to look like just a simple robot that takes like even if it's just like plastic bag of wet food that it can just open it and squeeze it from top to bottom like paste. Nothing exists like that. I was like, I can capitalize on that, but I have no background in robotics. Shit. But it would be simple, like just
You don't need
open
that.
the
You have a
thing.
3D printer? You know how to do
No,
3D
no, no,
modeling?
no. I have no background in that.
Okay, you know how to do 3D modeling, right?
Yeah, of course.
Get a 3D printer.
Okay. But then what?
Well, there's other steps. Don't just get a 3D printer. You know, model, print. Ta-da.
And then what? I need the system to make it go automatic, right? Like feed them at this hour and at this
Yeah,
hour.
watch a YouTube tutorial on Arduino or something. It's not that hard.
Man, you're like, it's so simple, dude.
Dude, just ask. No, Arduino are simple. Ask ChatGPT, vibe code it, and it's gonna be good enough. It's fine. Like, if it mess up, your cat doesn't eat food. It's okay. Yeah, it sounds pretty bad. But at least you don't have to water your cat.
Yeah, no, you don't have to. I mean, you kind of need because most of them die from dehydration.
True.
Cats, man, listen, cats, if they don't like the food, even if they're thirsty afterwards, they first don't eat and they don't drink if the water is not completely fresh. They just don't want to drink. They're like, meh, fuck this shit.
Yeah, I know, I
I'm not
know.
drinking. Do you have a cat?
No, I had one. But yeah, it's yeah, I got that. I was one time looking into like getting a cab and realized I travel. But
But they are
basically
like the best pet for traveling.
no, they can't handle planes too much. If no, when they're young, it's okay, but when
The
they're oh,
what?
you mean like
You leave them.
oh. Thought, but you said for traveling, you take them
Oh,
with
you
you.
want to like travel with them. Okay, that's
Traveling cat, that'll be cool, but no, it's too stressful.
a turtle, maybe.
Plus, the turtle will outlive you.
Really? I
I
was
think.
a small one
I
without?
mean,
Are you
well, I mean,
sure?
not the turtle we raise because we're terrible at it. But
Yeah.
turtle.
There are somewhere you have to put them in the freezer, I think, in the winter, so they could just
Well.
sleep.
Box turtle? What type of turtle? Oh, I don't know, too many
Man, there's
types.
so many turtles. Like, I'm for sure I'm not gonna look that up. Right, we're going off track now, so
Okay,
no
sorry.
worries. Okay, I will cut all this
Nice.
until here, but let's talk a little bit about what got you into technical art because it's such a weird thing to get into. Like you have to be going through a lot of interests until you land there. So what got you there?
Well, to be honest, I was a generalist, but tech art pays better.
For
So
real.
just,
That is true.
anyway, the way I started, when I was in high school, I learned this 3D modeling. I just found it interesting because I learned that you can make games. Sorry, not games. You can make movies with that. So I was like looking at, oh, they made this movie in this tool. So I started learning 3D Max and a bit of Maya and
Nice.
everything, and I wanted to work in movies, and then I realized my graphics sucks. But you know what else sucks? Game graphics. So I knew I had a chance there.
I love this feeling.
So I started learning how to make games when I got to college because I learned programming and I realized, oh, I'm good at programming. Okay. And also modeling, programming, I'm going to go out to make games. I started making games. And then people were like, okay, you have to become either an artist or a programmer. And I couldn't decide because I was like, I enjoy both. They complement each other. And I kept doing both until eventually, like, tech art became a thing. And I was like, cool, that's what I'll be doing. And yeah, I mean, my title before was an evangelist. Now I changed to tech artist. It's, I didn't choose evangelist, it was given by the company. You just have to look at the market and whatever is in demand. So if something changed later, probably I'll change again. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I'm just about building things. Doesn't matter what you use. And the industry is constantly changing, and you have to constantly adjust.
Yeah, and that actually gonna bring me again to AI and AI topic. How what are your views on that? Because so far you sound very confident in the sense of like they are just skills. You put them together, and as long as you're building something, you know, it should be that should be what counts. So, what are your views on that? I'm curious.
It's quite interesting. If we put the environmental things on the side where, we're all gonna die from global warming and everything, you should invest in a bunker at this point. What's AI? Okay. I think that at least for programming, I'm not talking too much about art. Art, that's a completely different conversation. If you don't use it, you will get left behind a bit, but it doesn't mean you it will program, your code, but it does accelerate a lot of workflows. And I used to feel like, oh, I need to clone myself, or I need more of me to build the stuff I want to do. And then when AI got released, and I'm not even using like a programming AI, I'm just using a regular AI, I went from, oh, I can program in like 10 languages to, oh, I can program in every language. Or
I see what
it
you mean.
went from, oh, this project, I need to learn how to get into that API to do those things, to, oh, I'm up and running and finish the tool in one day. Or I used to build like one tool a week. Now I can build like four tools a week. And also there's things that's like, how much. I know AI doesn't do like good code, but the question is, how much good code do you need? Like, if I'm building a tool that I'm gonna use once and throw away, like I need a migration tool where I migrate data from one thing to another. I'm gonna only gonna use it for that specific case and then never use it again. Yeah, vibe code, let AI do most of the work and use that, and I don't mind if the tool is not efficient. But
I
if you run it,
can if I'm allowed to interrupt, like I don't know how to code, but like I know the basics of Python, that a little bit, not too much. And one of the things I was facing with streaming and podcasting is that time can the stupid amount of time it consumes to make an edit, right? Like I want to make shorts, right? And you have to watch your whole recording again and listen and okay, get the best cuts and stuff like that. I don't have time. And I cringe when I hear my voice. Okay. So what I did is I found a tool that can transcript the video that I upload on YouTube. And here I don't have to do anything because YouTube does the transcription automatically. So I just found a tool that can copy that where I could download it. Then I feed that into some local AI in on my PC, and I get the best 5 1-minute like snippets of the talk, right? Or of the podcast. And then I was able to like you said, dirty code, right? It's not making any nice code or anything. It's super dirty, but it gets the cuts done automatically. So it cuts it using FFmpeg, right? I just put the name of the file. Bam, in 2 seconds, I have five clips from the transcript. And then I just do a couple of editing things, make the title, stuff like that. I can even automate that if I want to, but I just didn't find the time. But just to enhance your point there, like as someone who never really coded a tool in his life, I was able to make a tool for myself using AI, and I'm proud of that, you know?
So that is the good side of AI, but we have to also talk about how it's really bad. It's not like, oh, I can write script. It will write a script up to a certain point,
Yeah.
and then it will get very bad. And the way I work with this is, and I'm still struggling sometimes with that, is sometimes tell me on it sends me on wild goose chases where it thinks certain functions or stuff exist, and you try to do the code debugging it and it doesn't work, only to realize that function doesn't actually exist, you know. So
Hallucinations.
yeah, I mean, so basically you wanna do it. When it doesn't work, you have to step in. And also, if you want to have good code with AI, you have to be a good programmer. If you're not a good programmer and use AI, it's gonna give you bad code as well. Now I have tricks and other things, so sometimes instead of telling it to write the code, I tell it to write functions, and that way if something breaks, I know exactly where it broke. So I don't have to read the entire code, I can just read
The
those
functions now.
sections. Yeah. So there's that too. But overall, yeah, it's good, it's bad. But yeah, if we're gonna see like programmers doing more and needing less people to do certain things, it's not gonna replace the programmer completely, but it's gonna replace how many programs you need in a project, probably.
I guess the thing, okay. I'm not guessing, but the thing that worries me a little bit, not worries me, but I think about it often, like we will have at one point, just like with social media, we'll have a generation that doesn't know a world without, you know? And with code, you kind of can't go away without knowing how to code, like you said. In the end, you will have to fix a lot of stuff, or you will have to investigate a lot of the issues there. So it's really tricky, man. Like, when is it a good tool for beginners? I guess like when you ask it, like, what is wrong with my code? If you're really bad at it.
I mean, when is a good tool for beginners? That's a, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Like, it's great for learning, you know,
I
you can
agree.
ask me a question and it's gonna, but how do you know it's teaching you something correct?
That is
I
true.
don't know.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I like oftentimes find myself there as a VFX artist, right? I'm like, sometimes I get stuck in a, not
Yeah.
sometimes, I got stuck once in a certain scenario, and I before I asked anybody, I went and asked AI, and then it started just hallucinating solutions, like you said. It's like, oh, and then you right click right there and you choose that option. It's like, I'm sorry, dude, but like that option does not freaking exist. And then I just went to the servers, like the Discord server, and I described exactly the same issue, and I was much faster. Like, I got it solved way faster.
Oh yeah, sometimes like you can just look at the code and see what's the problem with it. Like I was doing a Discord bot recently and I was trying to get the names of the members in a certain channel, but because the members can change their name inside of a server,
Yep.
no, you need to get the nickname. But and then it kept fixing the function of comparing the nickname to the thing, when it turns out the field it was looking at, it wasn't the nickname, it was looking at a different field. So, and it took me like 1 second to just do a print to see what it's looking at and realize you're looking at the wrong information, while the AI was just stuck in an endless loop of fixing a function that was completely fine.
Wow. It's crazy. Hey, listen, I really admire this, like, go getting, you know, what is it, go getter type of mentality that you have.
I mean, yeah, but we will get tired eventually, right?
No, but I wonder, like, what makes you so fearless about learning a new skill?
Honestly, I think it's just history of having those small wins and each time that win pushing you to do more. So it just started at a younger age of, you know, doing something, getting the right encouragement for it, you know, getting good result and even sometimes bad, but then sometimes more good than bad and keep trying and then eventually discovering that, oh, I can learn anything. And the second is discovering that most people are afraid. So you don't have to be good, you just have to be better than everyone else. Like imposter syndrome, right? Once you realize that everyone else has imposter syndrome, then you'll be like, yeah, that's cool. I can be more confident because I know everyone else is, you know, they don't have the same confidence in their own skills. They can still be better than you, but, you know, confidence and skill level are two different things.
But you're also touching on the point here that you don't need to be better. You just have to be, you kind of have to just be less afraid, like have more courage into
I would say,
failing and trying a new thing, right?
I know it's a double-edged sword though. You eventually learn that you can fix anything, but also I guess then you have to learn when not to fix things as well.
Like scope wise, or
Like at some point everything is a problem, everything what is a walking problem.
yeah.
Like, you need to know what are the things that are worth fixing and what are the things that maybe just let your plan die. I don't know. It's been
So
3 years.
do you feel like you've always been that person where there's a problem presented and you were always trying to fix it?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a really, like, it's a good base to have if you want to become like a technical artist, because that's exactly what you're hired to do.
Yeah, tech artists don't need tutorials, they need therapy.
At one point, maybe the therapy will turn them into something else, like not technical artist.
Will probably turn them into therapists because they'll start learning.
Oh my God, yeah, they will try to fix everything. Absolutely. That is so true. So, Unreal Engine, what's the story?
Yeah, Tim Sweeney made an engine 30 years ago, I think. And then he made a shooter with it, and then the engine was a modding tool, and then he sold it for a lot of money,
Few a
and
lot of money, yeah. I know
yeah, a
how
few a
much
lot of money.
that
Yeah, it's like this big.
is.
And then he kept making more versions of the engine,
Yeah.
and then yeah, that's the story of the engine.
Now, I mean,
Oh,
what's your story with it?
basically, when I was in college, and when I said I learned programming, and I was like, "Oh, that's how you make games," I googled how to make games, and the result was Unity, CryEngine, and Unreal. And I don't play that much games, so I just went to my gamer friend. I was like, "Here's the games made in every game engine. Which one should I choose?" And he was like, "BioShock was made in Unreal. Learn that one." I was like, "Great, thank you." And then, yeah, so then I started using the engine. Then I started playing Unreal Tournament because I knew the game was made with Unreal, so it was for research purposes. I don't play that much games, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, me and you have like the same taste of games, like Command and
Yeah,
Conquer,
we grew up in
RTS.
the same region. It was the same. Everyone liked the same games.
Yeah, kind of like offline games that maybe you can find in the LAN party shop.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike, Generals, Red Alert,
Exactly.
Half-Life.
Exactly. Those are the games I still play till this day. And
Yeah, I
yes,
have.
like I said, LAN party shop, we have those. They're internet cafes where you can play in LAN with your friends. I don't know
Oh
why
man,
those don't exist here, but
I
yeah,
don't know.
I
But if I'm ever
digress.
gonna do a bachelor, I'm thinking of doing a LAN party
Hell
and
yeah.
just like pizza,
Oh my
video
God.
games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I know, right? You just like rent a warehouse equipped with computers, and just, I don't know, stay there for 2 days. That's the
Absolutely.
bachelor party.
Just pizza. Maybe there's a bed in the middle just to sleep and keep
I
going the
mean,
next day. That's a party.
yeah. I mean, I have friends who can cook, so I mean, I can cook too. Actually, I have a bunch. Yeah,
Now to come to
so
think about
yeah, I mean, honestly, game developers, right? They eventually have the same. I actually made a game. Go to arabic.game/bingo, and it's all the cliches of game
Oh
development.
my God, I
And
love that.
yeah, they always find the same interest one way or the other. So anyway, cooking is one of them, because if you're good at programming and designing, cooking is the same thing.
Absolutely. And also a lot of the skills that we learn, even coding, is a bit related to cooking. Even like shader programming sometimes is related, because in the beginning you're learning the skill to solve a certain problem, which is like, I really want some, I don't know, some boiled eggs. Then you go and learn how to make a boiled egg. But then it's the same concept to boil spaghetti or noodles, you know what I mean? And you kind of use those, mix and match those like techniques
Yeah.
to make different things. But at the
You just
same
remind
time, you kind of do the same thing with shaders or with a particle system.
me. Yeah, you just reminded me how many tutorials there are on how to boil eggs, and people
Still.
discovering different ways to. It's an egg, guys. Just put it in water. Anyway,
I can make the perfect tutorial because I never F it up.
it's an egg. Just put it in water.
Put
It's
it in
fine.
water and just don't have taste. Like, make it hard boiled and don't care about anything else. If you like it soft boiled, you're setting yourself up for failure. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, I see. So you like it like boiled all the way to the
Oh
end.
yeah. Like,
Okay, do you like also your steak completely cooked all the way?
yes, that's me. How do you
Oh
know?
God, typical Arab.
Nah, I like it medium rare actually,
Okay.
but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, I know. It's yeah, no, I mean, like, do you have the thing same thing like when cleaning the dishes, like your mom used to use bleach as well in the
Oh my
cleaning?
god, yeah, especially after boiling the eggs. Are you kidding? She used bleach.
Okay,
What
wait.
the hell?
No, you don't put bleach. I mean, just for the cleaning, like bleach is like combined with dish soap for everything. They have to
Yeah, how
be.
else are you gonna get rid of the zanja smell, right? Like, which
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
even know what the English word for zanja.
This point, you know that. Okay, so something also. We use cinnamon in our salty, savory dishes
Okay, no, I
that
don't
have
do
egg
that.
in them
I don't do that.
to get rid of the smell of eggs.
No way.
Yeah. Well, people here is like, oh, egg smells nice. Nice.
That, but it's so shocking to me, like when I came to Europe, how people like are okay with not cleaning the house. Like I'm okay with that too, believe me.
I
But like
know.
my mom, are you freaking kidding? Like
Once a day.
she would swipe the freaking walls.
I
And
know,
I was
right?
shocked by like the wall paint you can buy here, because
Oh.
basically whenever there's something on the wall, the paint is gone the moment you scrub it. I didn't know that. I didn't know that it requires actually a very expensive paint that you could literally put water on and wash it
Yeah.
like they do in Syria,
Don't get me started on things like in France, for example, you go to a restaurant and it looks like the inside of a chewing gum, and basically they're like, oh yeah, see this place? It's like we haven't replaced the wood in like 200 years, and it's like the wood is like crumbling, dying. And then it was like, oh, it's such a like good place. I was like, ugh.
Have you ever like witnessed, because in the Arab world we literally clean the floor with water, like shatif it's called, right?
Yeah,
Have you
I
were
mean,
you ever like on your mattress on the ground sleeping and all of a sudden you start hearing the water and you start screaming for your life?
yes.
Then she comes with the sweep, you know.
Yeah, I know. No, it's horrible. I need to send you memes about this,
Oh,
but
please, come
yes.
on. I mean, how much therapy do we have to go through versus like the Chris's and David's that you find in game development that are like, have you ever seen like white people getting grazed? It's the best thing ever. Like a 4-year-old in a train, how much
Yeah.
attention they get. I was always amazed by this. Like, there was always like, I always see them in trains, right? Like, they put like, they kind of take their whole home with them, like with their toys and. It's
They
really
have money for
amazing.
toys.
And then you know the kid has always opinions about things, right? Like, Mama, I think the door is too loud, like of the train, right? And the mom's like, yeah, you're right, the door is too loud. What do you think we can do about it? And then I looked at my wife, I was like, do you know what my mom would have said if I told her the door is too loud?
She wouldn't say, she would grab something.
She would literally say, shut your mouth, you don't have an opinion. So I have to grow up in a world or compete for the same jobs these Chris's and David's have to compete for. And I'm like, it's
But also,
not
no, you don't need that much therapy. I mean, you
fair
don't
to
believe in
begin with.
therapy,
No,
no.
such an Arab way to say it. It's just like 2 hours of therapy will do you good, man.
You have emotions, suck it up.
You have opinions? Oh, what's that? They don't even exist.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. But funny thing is, I went to Brazil and they have the same Lebanese dishes there. Kibbeh and
Yeah.
They don't have them as Lebanese food, they have them into their day-to-day food at this point.
Okay.
And then I was hosted by a friend's house, like at her mother's place and everything.
Nice.
And they are Same thing. They were cleaning the floor every day. They're like, this is this. It's really culturally, they're very identical. So, yeah.
It's kind of repeating itself at one point. Like,
I mean,
here's the thing, like, how many restaurants you've seen in Europe where it's like an Egyptian trying to make Lebanese food?
look, every Lebanese restaurant in France is Syrian.
But why would they say it's Lebanese
Because no one wants to buy Syrian food. Everyone's like, oh, Lebanese food is cool. So if you name it Syrian, no one would go.
Syrians? Oh, that's so sad.
And Lebanon and Syria have almost identical food, so.
It's one to one the same. We just call stuff different just to piss each other's off.
You call stuff different?
Yeah, like Sfiha is fatayer, for example. Nah, Afwan. What is the other one?
Wait.
Mana'ish is fatayer in
Well,
Syria.
yeah, but Sfiha is a specific variation of, at least in Lebanon, one is tomato and onions and meat, and one is more like greasy meat, and sometimes you mix it with like lamb and meat.
Yeah, we call that lahmacun. So, like
Yeah,
the
lahmacun is the
Turkish
regular one.
lahmacun. Yeah.
Well, it's not Turkish lahmacun because they're literally saying lahmacun, which is
Exactly,
Arabic.
exactly. But people only know lahmacun in the West, so if
Also,
they know.
Turkish has good food, but I don't like their spices. So even the
I mean,
lahmacun
what are their spices? Basically, paprika
is
powder on everything.
Exactly. Can you not put paprika in literally everything? Not
Yeah.
everything needs paprika.
That will be the title of the episode. Turkish spices suck.
Yeah, I mean, they have some things that are good. Just don't use everything for everything. Like, there's shish barak. I don't know. You know that dish. Okay, now, how is this? This is a game show. By the way, what's the subject for today? Just to know, because we are talking about
Doesn't
everything.
matter. It
Okay,
doesn't
doesn't
matter.
matter. Cool. So they have this dish, which is, we have it also in Lebanon, shish barak, which is like the dumplings that you put in yogurt.
Oh my God, it's actually my favorite food ever.
I
Shish
know,
barak is the
right?
best.
But we bake it, then we put it, and then you just boil it. So one is like a
Wait, you bake
big.
it? It like you put it in the oh.
Yeah, you do the balls, you put them in the oven first,
Yeah.
and then you dump them in the yogurt.
Oh. I never heard about that, but sounds delicious actually.
Wait, well, how do you do it?
Yeah, we boil it. I
But that's like, go to Turkey, man.
go to Turkey. But do you also put like this garlic on the top? The fried garlic?
I mean, some people do. In the yogurt itself, we put garlic and mint.
Oh my
So,
God.
yeah.
Man, you're making me hungry as
I
hell.
mean, if you like mint, I planted a lot of dry mint right now.
Is it dead? Yeah.
You have to kill it for it to have
I
dry
mean,
mint.
yeah, I was like, how do you plant dry mint? I was like,
By being really bad.
yeah. But it was normal mint to begin with. I also didn't know that there's mint and then there's nana mint. I was like, it's always nana for me, you know?
But Dana is mint. What do you mean?
No, it's a special type. It's a special family of mint.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's like a lot of differences, but at the end of the day, I'll just use whatever is available.
I think
But
like the nana is so nuts. Like so the peppermint you get, peppermint, right? It's called. You get
yeah.
like from in Austria it literally grows like in the wild, right? You can cut
Okay.
it and eat it. But fresh it would taste too intense. It's like a gum almost, like a toothpaste. It's too intense. But the nana one is really like it's mild. You can put it in falafel, right? You can put it in stuff. It would be amazing. But this one is really like just for tea. Because it's so intense.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have that problem here. I think I'm getting the right access to mint, so it's working fine.
The right access. Where are you based?
Paris.
Oh, okay. How is Paris? I've always heard bad stuff, but like I've never heard from
About
actual
the people of
person.
the city.
The city. I don't know why.
I don't know. I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with the place.
Okay.
I think there's so many things that are nice and a lot of things to learn from people here and a lot of things to dislike from people here. And so, you know, the city has a lot of, if you ever get bored, it's impossible to get bored here. There's always something new to
It's
discover.
awesome.
There's always the concerts. There's always like
Yeah.
museums, place to walk, new restaurants. So The city overall, it's nice if you don't have a sense of smell. So, what else?
You just go to the next point. You
Yeah,
throw it
see,
out there.
and the people like have a good understanding of living your life first before overworking. So
That
I
is
feel,
good. That is the opposite of Germans.
yeah, but at the same time, I feel it's a bit too much. Like, I've seen
Italian is
people.
too much of that. I feel like Italy is a, they have too much of this.
Don't know. I've seen people who are like, well, I don't know, it's too hot. Instead of turning the fan on, they're just like, I'm not gonna work today. Or,
Oh wow, okay, that bad. Gotcha.
yeah. Or, oh, you need that paper? Well, I need to scan it. So, you know what? Forget about it. I'm not gonna do it. I was like, because I don't have a scanner. And even though every like block there's a shop that has a scanner you can use. There's always that type of thing of you need to know that if you want something and you get a no, you can still get it, but you have to be like persistent and you have to ask the right
Oh,
way and
that's like
you
Arabs.
have to do. Arabs is more like Arabs is worse. Not worse. It's different. It's like my favorite sentence for Arabs, like, yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's the way you panic, but you ask for something and you know it's like, oh yeah, it's gonna happen. It's not gonna
It's
happen.
not gonna happen.
A friend of mine said, like, if you want something done, you just have to go and talk to the guy's wife and then she'll make him do it.
Like in France or in the Arab world?
Arab world.
Oh, you don't do that. Just don't do that, dude. It'll
No,
get you in a lot of trouble.
not me talk to his wife, like get
Yeah.
a girl to talk to his wife.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
Okay,
I
but you
get
need
that
to like,
part.
no, like you need to apply pressure at home. That's how
That makes a lot of sense.
different
Yeah,
problems.
nothing is gonna get done if you don't apply pressure for some reason in the Arab world.
I mean, does anything get done anywhere? I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. American companies, I've heard people who work with them, they tend to overwork as well. So it really depends. There's no good place, to be honest. I've been all over the world at this point. I'm lacking a lot of countries in Asia, though, but everything other, every other continent. And you're gonna find those problems everywhere. Like, there's no pick your battles. You can,
Yeah,
like,
you're
find
gonna
your
pick your
here and
battles.
better
That's
things
true.
here.
Yeah. What do you enjoy about Paris the most? Like the not getting bored aspect?
Oh, they have three airports and one, good
Wow.
two, three train stations that
Awesome.
are. Yeah, I mean, for someone who traveled as much as me, it's like it's a blessing to be able to just call an Uber and be at the airport in like 40 minutes and
Wow,
then
that's really
get the
good.
plane.
That's really good. Like you
Yeah.
can become a flight attendant too on the way.
I
Do
have a
double
friend
shifts.
who is a flight attendant and we're trying to see by the end of the year who has more countries. She's catching up.
She's catching up.
Flight attendants, they travel way too much.
I would not like that job, but I have a huge respect to people that do it. It's just I would not be able to do it for sure.
I don't think it's a long-term job. I think it's great for people who wants to see the world, so they go for a year or two.
I know someone that worked her whole life so far as a flight attendant.
I don't know if it's sustainable. I mean, like, it's a lot. You don't have a social
You
life.
have
You
to
don't have.
be. You have a social life. You do. But you have to be a very special person. Like, that
Yeah.
is okay with not being around,
I
basically.
mean, you have a social life, but also it means you can't commit to a lot of dates. Like, you're gonna have a very a harder schedule
Oh,
to
yeah. They also
fulfill.
have, like, a concept that is like, this week I will be available to go at any moment you call me. I don't know what is it called, like being
Yeah.
ready or I forgot the word
On
tag.
call.
On call, yeah, exactly. So she would literally have nothing planned for the whole day. Because she can't commit to anything. It's like she can go at any moment and she has to be at the airport at a certain time. Like, damn it.
So yeah, do it, travel the world, and then quit.
Is it really worth it to travel the world? I feel like it's something I'm okay missing out, missing out on.
Traveling depends on your objectives. I guess there's a couple. One is, in general, yes. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you come from the Arab world, and now you live in Austria. So you already did some of your traveling. Like,
Yeah, I
in
did it the
general.
hard way.
Yeah, but I feel like the people who leave their country, live in another country, it changes them. It's not necessarily
Absolutely.
that you have to keep traveling, but just having that, it I don't know, like all expats, they have this thing where just they see the world differently. So yeah,
It
you have to do
changes a
that.
lot in you, like when you see other humans, just like you living in a different circumstances and a different set of rules too, and working there as well. That is
You know,
crazy.
growing up in Lebanon, we as Arabs, we like to distance ourselves from other Arabs. And then with my job, when I started going to the Middle East, you start realizing how similar those countries are, how friendly they are, how much they like each other. It's completely like changes your perspective on how you view like different Arab countries as well.
That's what like a lot of people don't understand is that it's not like in Europe where you can go from Germany to France with like no border checks, or like in the Arab world, traveling from one country to like from Jordan to Syria, the procedures you have to go through
Just
alone.
to give context, Jordan and Syria have a shared border, a big shared border. Yes.
Or just like if people think like, oh, you can, oh, it's so beautiful there. Like, no, you can't travel from Syria to, I don't know, to Morocco, because you have to go through Jordan and Egypt, and you need visa for each. Like, it's
The
crazy.
only country in the Middle East that I don't need a visa, I think, is Jordan. Everything else, it's like, yes, you need a visa, and they're not easy process as
No,
well.
no, no. Like the to be a resident in Saudi, for example, like, are you freaking kidding? That is a process.
As a European, you'll have an easier time to go into other countries in the Middle East than someone from the Middle East to go to those countries. Yeah, no, I know. And that's what kind of sucks. But then, and you know, it's not like the EU, we're not like United, we're not like all of that. And it sucks because if you actually like get to know people, it really, really changes your perspective. So yeah, I view the Middle East completely different after like working there for 5 years.
Would you say like more positively
Oh
now?
yeah, definitely. I mean, like any country, you'll still, you know the flaws and the things that work and don't work. But no, I think overall it's a much more positive way. I mean, the whole Arabic Games Conference started is because you started meeting people like you and realizing I want to make an initiative for these people. It's not like I'm making an initiative because I want to make one. It's more like I can see the people who have problems, and these are the people I'm targeting with this event.
Would you
So yeah.
say like your event have changed something in any way or form?
I think so. I mean, you can't know for sure, right? But the other day I was like thinking the guy who this company who is sending like a 3D printer or whatever, probably every person who ever invented things is probably using a printer. So they changed so many lives in just doing that. And thinking of the person who wanted to get into games, who saw this ad for our conference and then went and watched it, there should be a certain percentage who decided like, oh, maybe I want to get into games. Or the
Absolutely.
person who showcased their game there, it gave him a bit more motivation to keep working on the game. Getting those mentorship, the CV review, probably someone eventually found a job. I'm not saying our conference made them find a job. I'm saying it was one of the steps that they went through on their journey to eventually get there. I went to a lot of conferences, right? But it doesn't mean it's that conference who got me the job. It's just the combination of going to those conferences and building those network over time and then learning from people and this and this. And eventually I got to those jobs. Yeah, definitely. They played a big role in it.
What would you say like your in an ideal world, what would you like this event to be in the future?
Well, I would love to have an event in person. The problem with it, it's not even the cost of the event, is that people in the region can't afford to go there. Like, to fly from one country in the Middle East to the other country in the Middle East costs you like 500.
Yeah, I mean, also the processes, like we just talked about it.
Yeah, the visa. And then on top of it, you need a hotel. So you'll be spending, let's say, $800. Okay, $800. The average salary in those countries is $800. So you'll be spending an entire month's salary, and this is assuming you have a job where most of our demographic are students. Like, it's just impossible for anyone to travel unless you'll be like, oh, but serious developers can. I was like, how many established studios do you think we have? And those established studios, they're barely like have budget for things. So unless they go there and if they find the publisher that's going to sign them, you know, there's always going to be those struggles of, you know, conferences are always like chicken and egg. You have to, who's going to come first, the publisher or the people or this or this. So that the conference will have to grow over the years as the region grows. Our priority is focused first on the developers. We need to get developers getting better, getting stronger and everything. And we can do all of that online. You want to get publishers? A publisher is more than happy to join, you know, a few hours online, get to meet all those studios. And then if he doesn't meet good studios, he's just going to be like, oh man, I wasted like 3 days, 10 hours on a flight, spend this much money to come here. He's just going to be like, well, great. I only spent a few hours. I met everyone. I'm going to come back next year. I'm going to do the same. And I feel that in our region, what would make the most sense is an online event. We just have to be done properly online, not just like, oh, we're putting conferences online because people will get bored. You know, there's so much content online. You can go on YouTube now and find the content for anything you want. So
Absolutely.
how do you make it like custom? So our conference is talks in Arabic. We are picking them specifically. We're quality checking those talks. We're getting those type of audience. We're doing the activities. We're doing the mentorship, review everything. We constantly adding more things to the event to make it more interactive with the users. Yeah, so it's getting there. And every year we automate a lot of things, so we have more capacity to do more the next year.
And if in an ideal world again, like if you had the power to change things, how would you change them?
Power to change everything?
Like literally everything, like
Oh, well, destroy.
governmental stuff, things.
Well, first, get rid of nuclear weapons. That would be great, right?
Arabs don't have nuclear weapons.
Well, we don't, unless we're gonna get bombed, then suddenly we have.
Do we?
No, we don't. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's the excuse got that gets used.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, we think they have a nuclear weapon, let's bomb them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get that part.
Yeah, no, we don't have nuclear weapons.
For the
I don't know. Do we trust each ourselves with nuclear weapons?
Let's solve the border problem first.
Yeah, I know. Dude, I would destroy technology. Just keep the thing that lets us communicate with each other. And I think technology just made us more miserable than ever.
I agree. Like, I feel like everybody's so like connected that it's taken so much for granted
Yeah.
these days. And
It's
I really don't believe that there's one person in this world with like three people texting them on Discord or whatever. Like, no one in this world is that busy. I think everybody has their DMs empty. You know what I mean?
they have intentions of people. They have the people who send them a couple of messages every few months, and that's enough.
Yeah.
There's that. What else with the technology? You know, when I was stuck, I used to ask people for help. Now I go for ChatGPT.
Yep, that's also like a shit show in a way.
Like, yeah, like we are needing people less and less, talking to people less and less, and just like the whole thing is like it's a consumer, you know. But I still, one aspect I like of technology is that because we're so connected, that if something happens in a different country, we can know about it. It's not, we can hide it. In the past, it was like, yeah, we can hide it. And now there's a lot of wars on hiding things, but they're still not able to hide a lot of things. You know, you can still know in every country what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, like even like America and what they do, like
Yeah.
it's becoming more and more clear how politics work. It's getting harder even for people that do politics to do politics these days. That's why you end up with a guy like Trump, where it's like, you know, everybody kind of know what's happening in a way, so why
I
hide
mean,
it?
yeah, it's let's see. He hasn't been in office for a year now. Yay. But anyway, let's not talk about Trump. I'm pretty sure your audience is already depressed. They're in the game industry, of course they're depressed.
I don't believe I have any audience. Like right now I'm talking to you, we're recording this, so I don't have that in mind at all. Like we're just having a conversation, I think. We need more of that shit. Like, I feel like a lot of people on YouTube are performing in a way, and I try to not have a like an on voice, off voice, you know, just
You
try
will
to be
always
myself.
be true to yourself and remember the small people when you make
Yeah, remember the small it's just keep it going like this.
it.
But you didn't answer, like you keep going around the
Oh, sorry, what was the question? I forgot.
like
Oh, what I
in
would.
an ideal world, what would you say you want for your event in the sense of
Oh, well,
like
you didn't say for the event. You have to
oh
give me
no,
a
for the
second.
event, for the event.
Yes. Okay, for the event. Ideal world,
Ideal
we would
world.
actually have a scholarship program for people to actually come to the event. So we would sponsor their flights and everything. And we make it like we get like 30 people from each country to be able to come. The rest can pay, but 30 person get to come for free. And then you just put them in a room with each other. That's all you need to know. Knowing that we're all in the same boat, meeting each other, and this is where things happen. Honestly, like I go to conference, I don't watch that many talks anymore. I'm more interested in getting to know the people there, and I think there's the value to learn something. You can always do that at what's it called? You can do it online whenever you need to. You go to the conference, you see the talks. If there's a talk that you're interested in, you watch it. But overall, I just focus on meeting people. And then, of course, it's nice that you can ask people technical questions. So if you know what you need help with, you can easily get those answers. While talks, if you don't know, then they're like, hey, I'm going to teach you something. And now you can ask the questions. So definitely, I'm saying talks are important, but not as much needed. And I want a technical event. A lot of things that people are focusing on are business events because they're easier. You don't have to focus on speakers. You don't have to focus on a lot. You just have to get the right people in the right room, and it's very dense, and you charge more. And it's a smaller venue. You get the right people. So that's a trend that's happening. I'm not really focused on that. I mostly want to get the talent, more talent, making gains and getting to the quality. And it's also like the state of that is interesting as well, because the quality in the region is not good because we don't have schools. And in the past, it wasn't that bad because, no one had schools. So everyone had to learn and get there. But then over time, game development became a skill that you can teach. And, students are making portfolios that are quality-wise as much as senior developers. They don't have the experience, but they can do quality sometimes. Okay, now it's like not the same. But now with the industry not hiring, so it's even more competitive. And on top of that, you have AI, which is completely gonna change a lot of things.
But it's also gonna, I feel like it's gonna make this more equal in a way.
Possibly.
The access to like schools and access to knowledge, it's kind of equalizing that a little bit for,
It might.
yeah.
There's no doubt that. And finally, if you're a developer who you are a local developer, you become good, you're gonna get hired by a foreign company who can pay you more than anything that a local company can pay you. So I think you're not gonna find a lot of people who are good who are making games locally that is not their own game. So that's tricky, the region's still growing, but not at the pace it should. Definitely in Saudi Arabia, it's growing a bit faster because there's more investment from the government. In Lebanon, it's like, what government?
Yeah, I wonder, like, it feels like you need to artificially make it alive, you know, and it's sad that that is the case. And what a lot of people don't understand is, like, you know, when you talk to those like people in higher positions, and you talk about like inclusion and equity and like diversity, and you know, they kind of say, well, the person with the best knowledge gets the job, doesn't matter their color or where they come from. And I'm like, okay, that is cool, but what made that person have higher chances to get the job? And that, you know, I actually had a conversation with someone like that, and they're like, I was like, yeah, they were born here, and they're like, yeah, well, but here's the thing, life is unfair, you have to suck it up. And I was like, That is cool. Yeah, we can suck it up, but here are the facts, right? Like in Syria, computers were not allowed until the early 2000s. When were computers allowed in, I don't know, in America or in Germany? And it's like since the 19 whatevers, right? And it's like you could have went to computers, like study computer science, and I'm like, I'm less likely to go and study computer science. You don't even understand.
Yes.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
it's a double-edged sword. So they have to be good. That's the main criteria.
Yeah.
But at Romero we were hiring remotely and my entire team was all over the globe, especially in the EU time zone. But we had people in Africa, we had people all over Europe. Maybe a couple people in the US, so just having an opportunity if you're working remotely to open that to work with everyone around the globe as long as the time zone allows, that's a way of doing it. But they have to be good. I remember one time I was like someone showing like a game and I looked at the game and like the props he was using were bad. And I told him like, I'm sorry, but this is like bad art. And he was like, you have to remember it's in this region you don't have this and this and this. And I was like, you have to remember you can open the marketplace and then for $5 get better props.
That's
Like,
unexcusable, for sure. I'm
yeah, I
there with
mean,
you.
it's sometimes that it's a double-edged sword where it's like you can don't use the region as a position of powerlessness,
No, but as a fact, this is what I'm trying to say. Like, as a fact, like, I'm less likely, like, even the fact that I'm, let's say, half as good as the rest meant I came from a long way. That's all what I'm saying. And what I'm saying as well is that what I can bring to the table coming from that background, fighting through the odds brings way more than the table than your eye can see right now through my current portfolio. That is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so it's more like companies should give you the opportunity to have a fair chance. And definitely, like, if it came to this and that, like, if they're close in candidates, then I guess judgment call.
Yeah.
But if you're only like putting a sign outside the door and saying, I'm only hiring people who live in my block, and or even if it was a remote job, this is where, yeah, so diversity should be more giving people access to apply, I guess.
I agree with you. In the end, though, the best person for the job will be hired, and capitalism teaches. Like the best of the best, hire them for the least of the least. You know, like
I
get the
mean,
best person can get you the job for the least amount of money. That is what we're taught. That's what makes sense.
at Romero was different. The way we hired
I
people
believe you.
was very, and it's quite a, it's no longer, oh, how good the person is. It had so many criteria. Like we actually sometimes chose less qualified. They're all qualified. I'm saying like if you had two candidates, you have to see which one does the job you need. Some people just can do more and it feels like there's no learning path for them in the company.
Yeah.
So you have to find like, oh, this person fits exactly what this company is doing right now and it aligns with a lot of those things. So it's really an interesting path, but we did hire people that really like will go great with each other,
And also would grow in their skills, like over the time. So they become an investment on over time, right?
No, I mean, they're already good. They
Yeah.
do everything we need for the project. If you, let's say you hire someone, a tech artist who can also write his own game engine, it's like, but we're just not gonna rewrite the engine, that's what I mean. Well, if you get a tech artist who does only shaders, but only what you do is you need is shaders, then
It's very interesting. I've never heard about like not just hiring the most qualified person, but also hiring the most fit is
good.
as a thing.
Because if they're not growing, they'll leave. That's simple. If you can't create something that you want to hire someone for the job you have, not the job you might have. We had one time a guy who wanted to do more procedural stuff and the game had no procedural things. And it's like, so there's this kind of things. Also personality. Like you will be working with that person every day. They will
Yeah.
be in front of you the whole time.
Yep.
That plays a big part. If you can't imagine yourself talking to that person, that could be a criteria too.
That is a huge criteria, right? Because like you're literally spending most of your life, that your current life, not like your life as a whole, but like your current day, let's say 8 hours, 9 hours with the people that you're working with. And if it's not working, like you kind of prefer not to be around that person, no matter how good they are. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
For more tips on getting hired, we're gonna have a panel at the conference called.
For real? Cool.
Yeah, we do. Every year we do one. We get different people who are involved in hiring decisions. So one time we had some CEOs, one time we had HRs. This time I'm gonna be joining the panel, but to give a technical perspective. So it's more like this from a technical perspective of reject, and then also HR and CEO and such. But all the HRs are people from the region, so they understand all of those specifically the challenges. So, oh, okay, you have the visa thing. How do you work remote? What are the criteria, etc. We try to get local studios and foreign studios. So we have, for example, a talent, I don't know exact title, it's like a senior talent acquisition from Ubisoft, for example.
Yep.
She's great. She can give feedback on, hey, this is what Ubisoft is doing. So if you're trying to apply remotely for this company, we probably don't hire remote and you should not apply, or we do hire remote and this is what you should do, or we do sponsors visa, we don't sponsors, like all of those, she can answer specifically those questions.
That's awesome. You rarely hear like those perspectives because like if you're applying, oh, what you're getting is either like, oh, let's go through the first interview or rejection letter most likely, right? Like, unfortunately, we're not gonna go or whatever. That is basically what you're gonna get. So it's good to kind of hear the other perspective of like, okay, what are we missing here? What is going on?
And we have a CEO also of a company in the US. She's originally Lebanese, and she did hire remote workers from Lebanon at some point as well. So she has experience with working with local developers and remote developers, and then she has points on that. And at Romero, we were hiring like crazy during the last year. So I've done more interviews than I can count at this point. Well, that's all I
Okay,
can
but
say.
here's a question. As someone who you were on the decision-making table, right? What would you say is common advice for everybody that everybody just misses on? Or they
Well, let's
fuck
skip the
it.
obvious, which is, oh, you should have like
No,
a
I
good
don't
CEO.
want that. I want the least obvious stuff.
So I just want to say, like, okay, if we're assuming that you have a good CV and you fit the job description and everything, the vibe, you're talking to the interview, they want to see if they vibe with you. Like, if we try to ask you about your hobbies or try to get to know you, don't give a one word answer. Actually have a conversation, try to have a personality.
Try to have a personality.
Like, I kid you not, like there are people who just like just say and leave, and it's like, if we say a joke, try to react. You try to say a joke. You don't have to say a joke. I'm just giving basic example, but again, we're not just hiring a robot. We're hiring the person we're going to be working with. So.
Yeah, man. Like, but how much of that is nervousness, neurodiversity,
Oh,
like,
it's all of that. So we do take that into account. Like, we try to make people comfortable and try to, like, I agree that, definitely there's all of that.
Absolutely.
So,
It's difficult,
yeah.
man. It's really hard. Like you said,
Oh,
you gotta work with that person.
it's not
Like,
a deal
come
breaker.
on.
Like, for me, like the thing that was deal breaker at some point was I would ask a question and then the guy would circle around it
Oh.
for like 2 hours and eventually answer it. And
Oh.
it's like, just get to the point. And it's, I was getting, that would be something that would find And it's not like a one-time thing. It was constantly all the time. And it's just like,
Like with skills questions, or was it?
just any type skill question, any type of question. I'm just giving an example of, no, it's not you have to have a joke. You have to do this. You have to do that. I'm just,
Yeah, gotcha.
it's like, it's a score, right? It's like plus, minus, blah, blah, blah. Like being neutral is not a bad thing. We would still hire you if you've been neutral. It's, but this is also other things that we look for, right?
I'm always careful with those things. Like, I appreciate you sharing the knowledge, but what I don't want it to for people to under like to replicate or to understand is this, oh, I have to be someone else. That is exactly the total opposite of what you're advising here. You're
No,
saying,
no.
like, be yourself, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You're not saying, like, if you don't say jokes now, you should say jokes. Like, no,
Yes,
that
don't.
is not what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, don't memorize jokes and recite them either. It's like,
For real. Like, just be
yeah.
yourself. And I think a lot of the interviews would be way better if people were, and I'm gonna be honest, either more honest about being nervous or not being nervous at all, which is impossible.
Dude,
Everybody's nervous.
I mean, we hired this girl and she's very shy, but
Yeah.
she's also very funny. And then, you know, so she makes memes of everyone, which is
Oh,
funny.
that's so cool.
Yeah, like you can be shy and all of that. Like, don't change yourself.
Yep.
Just, I guess, just show yourself, I
Yeah,
guess.
man. I agree with
Yeah.
that. I agree with that. But that also, like, not for people to forget about what you started with when you were answering, is like, your portfolio has to fit, your job description has to fit the CV, and all of that, once you have got all of that covered, which is the hardest part, then you could get to show yourself. So it's a lot of
Yes.
steps. It's a lot of steps.
Yeah, it's for sure.
Would you say, like, if you have showed your own self, you were admitting that you were nervous, but you were still were not picked, to just not take that personally?
So funny you say that. No, because I have an idea for a talk says how not to take job rejection personally because
Oh, I love that.
it's literally not personal.
Yeah.
Again, we like I give you an example. Rejected someone just because he's just have skills that we don't need. And we know that he'll be limiting himself. That's a reason. You can still be like funny, great, whatever, and really qualified and all of that. That could be a reason. So yeah, don't take it personally because honestly, you can't tell what is the reason. I got rejected by Guerrilla Games because they said I don't have experience building tools. But then at Romero Games, all I did was build tools, you know? And it, yeah, my portfolio didn't show tools back then. But once I got a job that required tools, I immediately started building them. Like it didn't take me that long to, you know, catch on. So yeah, we can, people can be wrong as well. And
I
so,
think the majority of people, sorry to interrupt you there, but like the majority of people I know, even like senior positions where they get rejected, it's always that it goes back to their brain that I'm not good enough, which is like a super normal thing to think. But like you said, most of the times, decisions that are being made, they're made without explanation. All what you get is the generic, unfortunately, we have chosen other applicants, or whatever the hell is the generic email. I wish there was more personalized, but that is impossible by the amount of emails you get. I understand
so,
that part too. But I just
no, it's
to
not
tell people who
impossible
are
at all.
watching this, like, if you got rejected, one of the reasons that you should not think you're not good enough is exactly what you mentioned before, which is
Yeah,
basically
so
it could be anything.
another thing is, it's not impossible to give feedback to everyone. Like, assuming you got to the interview part, right? If you get rejected
No,
automatically,
you did
obviously.
not get to the interview part.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, if you just got rejected, I don't know, ask HR, but when you get to the interview part, getting feedback, we actually at Romero, if there is feedback, we usually send it, as long as it's not feedback to that is gonna make you feel bad, right? So we can say like, hey, we really liked you as a person, but I don't know, we needed X and you have Y, you know? So we might say this.
Yeah.
But we're not gonna say like, hey, we think you're qualified with these skills, but we didn't like this thing about you or something. That will be bad feedback. So you don't send this. Anything that is constructive, yes. On that, we tend to not send.
I mean, constructive could also be subjective. Like, if you say we were looking for X and you had more of Y, then I
Oh,
would be
but we
like,
have.
yeah, sure, but I think I'm gonna focus on X anyway, so.
That's totally fine
Yeah.
because that just means it's incompatible, and
Yep.
that's you're not going to take it personally because
Yep.
we want Y and you have X.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it really depends. So,
Have you ever seen people that, like on Twitter or on Blue Sky, where they just literally take a screenshot of their rejection letter and make fun of the company?
no, I've seen only the meme that was like automatically written by AI or something, but that
Yeah.
was it.
I've seen the really like taking it personal type of Blue Sky accounts, right? Or Twitter accounts, where they will literally mention the name of the company and like trash them, like do a trash post, and I'm like, wow,
I
like
mean,
you are not horrible, are you?
the thing is, it's no, you shouldn't, but it's I don't know how bad it was, right? At the same time, if a company does something bad, they should be called out. And we shouldn't be that angry at, like, I always feel like I see a lot of layoff posts and people saying, like, I'm grateful that I work at this company, even though they, like, just, like, cut all access to everything, not paying me, and then, you
That
know,
is,
fired me overnight.
yeah.
But I'm grateful for this opportunity. It's like, no,
No,
fuck that company.
you're not grateful.
You know, you don't have to
Yeah.
be professional about certain things. If
Yeah.
someone mistreated you, you'd be like, no, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
So, no, I think it's fine if people complain. It's okay to call out certain things, right? You know, I worked at Epic and it was great. You know, I'm grateful for the opportunity, but also bureaucracy nightmare. You know, so
Can't imagine.
it has its good things and its bad things. And just, but yeah, like the rejection stuff. It really depends. Also depends on how many rejection. Imagine you get rejected by like one, it's fine. Two, three, four, five. But what if you're getting rejected by like 50 company at this point and you have a mental breakdown? I'm saying, I'm not gonna be like, oh, you should be more professional. I'm gonna be like, are you okay? You know,
Yeah,
it.
most likely. I mean that, but I guess social media gives you this, especially when you get likes and numbers, you're like, oh, I'm right, you know, I'm most likely on the right side. But at the end, you know, it's not a good practice. It's just not a good practice. It's you will be rejected. I think that is something everybody needs to be taught.
Oh yeah, I mean
Everybody
I
gets taught the other way, like, oh, you know, if you attend this course and if you take our whatever, you will be hired and we will make sure. And then they pay the money that they had to pay to learn the skill that they had to learn. And then they are hit by the reality of like getting rejected 300 times.
Oh yeah, I mean I remember like when my sister was going to college and you know the she got accepted at like a university, it was a bit expensive and you know, I asked the university there, so if we're going to pay you that much, can you guarantee she's going to have a job? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
What are you paying universities for this much?
Yeah.
I mean, like universities, like I'm talking like when the tuition is like 30,000, you know, or above that, right? Why? What are you paying for? A YouTube tutorial? Like,
Is insane the costs that university have. And it's like if you look into what you're paying and it's like, "Ah, well, we have this trip that we make every year." And it's like, "No, I don't want to pay for that. Am I gonna have a job?"
universities, when you pay that much for universities, it's their responsibility to get you those interviews and get you qualified. You know, like they should teach you the skills the market need and then introduce you to the people who are making this. Otherwise, there's no value in a university anymore, unless you're a doctor or, you
The
know.
funny thing is, the truth is, you can get all of those stuff without any university or anyone paying anybody, actually. Like, you can just go to conferences and pay your own money and work on the side and learn your own skill. You're a self-learner, right? You learned your own.
Yeah, but it depends on the industry.
Yeah.
I never use my degree, but I do have a master's. You know, we're Arab, we have to have a master.
Not me, not this guy.
Because, well, maybe because, I don't know. Well, in Lebanon, at least, we have to have a master. Because
No, I
everyone has a
get you.
master. You know, it's like no one stops at bachelor. It's like, no, you need to have a master on top of that.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, to actually stick out, you have to have a PhD or
Wow,
like
it's crazy.
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what was it in the masters?
Electric engineering, electric engineering, computer engineering. That's what it
I love
was.
that you forgot
I don't know, dude. Do you think
Something,
I'm?
whatever.
It's fine. Like my bachelor was in telecommunication. Something was antennas, and the computer engineering was mess. I just picked random courses that didn't work together, and I just like.
Listen, man, like I feel like the age of my parents, like when they were 20s, university was a big deal, right? Like
It
only few
was.
people went there. But these days, everybody's doing college and university and masters and PhDs.
Not in France.
Not in France? Okay.
Oh
Why?
God. What?
Yeah, why?
I don't know. Ask the French. I mean, at least in Paris, most people that I'm meeting here,
Yeah.
it's or they do go to college, but they study things that don't have jobs. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
Yep.
in our board, you have to do doctor, lawyer, engineer. My sister is a dentist, so she did study doctor. I did have the engineering degree, and my sister was studying law at some point before she dropped out. But you know, so yeah, we do have the doctor, lawyer, engineer. Everyone has to. You need to get the jobs that will get you most likely hired.
Yep.
But yeah, but here they have degrees for everything.
Yeah, exactly. They have like I studied, what is it, like the history degrees. There are also other stuff like a social studies. Not belittling them, of course. Like my wife is a social worker, right? So, but they have different avenues.
Yeah. No, I mean, if I'm belittling, it will be more of a joke. I'm not gonna
Of course,
really
of
like,
course.
you know. Yeah, it's just also the reality of being able to do that. Like, there's a lot of people here who can study those things because they rely on the government to provide a lot of the security things. In the Middle East, you have to provide your own retirement, your own healthcare, your own security, everything,
Yeah.
unemployment. So yeah, you can't really just do anything. You have to do the specifically things that makes money.
Nah, and I understand that. I mean, dentist is like basically a business that never gets done with, right? Like that everybody pushes you into the dentist thing, right? Like in the Arab world at least. Or engineer, like, oh, you gotta be an engineer. I feel like dentist is actually the better option here.
Yeah. I mean,
Right.
it's also depends. Like in France, you need a dentist, you open your phone, there's an app, and you look for the doctor and you find one near you. In Lebanon, you're not allowed, dentists are not allowed to make ads.
Nah,
And
really.
yeah, and the clients you get is by being in a very popular location where people would go, and then you get the clients. You
What
either
the
inherit them
fuck?
from your father or you get the clients or
What?
yeah, doctors in Lebanon, they have to have clients, and then their kid become a doctor, and then they get the clients from his dad. It's
What the hell? So the doctors are like families. They are like royal families.
not a royal family. They're all doing okay, but if you don't have
Crazy.
socializing skills, if you're not in a good spot, if you open a clinic in the middle of nowhere, you know, there's some discoverability in marketing that you have to do.
Oh man, it's
But
crazy.
you know, cannot do marketing, obviously, because it's doctors cannot pay for publicity.
That is a weird law. If you ask me,
I
I
mean,
don't think it is the case here.
also when they say like 4 out of 5 doctors recommend whatever, but it's illegal for doctors to get paid or do some or a commercial thing. So I don't know where that statement came from, but it's not legal, at least not in Lebanon.
At least not in Lebanon. I guess you don't have then toothpaste advertisements. Or they don't say 99% of doctors.
No, we have them. We don't know which doctors. They didn't say like it's the
Not
Lebanese
Lebanese doctors,
doctor.
I guess.
No.
It's funny how our ads in the Arab world are very like kind of universal. Like that you can use them in Lebanon, you can use them in Syria, you can use them in Saudi Arabia, but then our whole system is not universal at all.
Dude, there was this candy Oh, okay. So there was this candy, and I call it Grandpa's candy.
Nice.
It's like you probably know the brand. It's a caramel brand.
I might know that.
But we grew up watching it, and it's just an ad where a kid goes to his grandpa, and then his grandpa gives him the candy, and then
Perfect.
everyone's in Lebanon started calling Grandpa's candy. So someone gave it to me in a conference, and I was like, "Oh, Grandpa's candy!" And then in the group, different people from different countries. The British people were like, "Yeah, it is Grandpa's candy." I was like, "Oh, you know the ad?" I was like, "Yeah." But then other people were like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" So,
Insider. Oh
yeah.
man. Such like so many topics to talk about, and we can go even 2 more hours just talking about Command and Conquer and everything.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
it's real good though.
So what would you like to tell people before we close this?
If you're depressed, don't be depressed.
Wow, thanks, I'm cured.
Yes, if you're poor, get money.
I'm
And
cured. If you don't have bread, eat cake.
yeah, if you don't like yourself, be someone else.
Oh my God, that is so you in a way.
Thank you.
That's
Yeah.
it?
I mean, do you need more life advice?
No, not life advice, but generally, like if you would imagine like people in the beginning of their career,
Yeah.
what would you advise them?
It's hard to tell them other than like just do the thing, because I don't think what worked for me will not work for them. They are the best judge on what to do. They just have to keep trying, and things will not work until they do. And it's you won't know until they do. Just don't start a studio and make an indie game with the intention of making money. Do it for the learning experience. It will get you to the next step.
What makes you say that? Like, what are people around you done that or?
No, I mean, just in general, how rare is it for an indie studio to actually like make money, a lot of money?
So statistically, you're speaking that it's if everybody had the same ideas. Yeah, I agree with you. But I wouldn't go to the lethal company person and tell them that.
No, I mean, is if you want to learn, open a company because you don't have opportunities around you, that is a great opportunity, right? You're
Yeah.
building your own thing, you're motivated to learn, you're
Yeah.
going through this learning experience. But the odds of that project actually succeeding are very, very low. And you should try, just, you have to have that expectation of working on it. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's, trying to make it less pessimistic as it sounds.
You can't, you're an Arab. It's in
I
our
mean,
blood.
I did my own game for a long time. That's how I got into my career. I was working on it for years, and that's how I got really good. But then I got a job that would pay me a lot of money, and I did the calculation, and I was like, the game will never generate that much money.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So,
But the thing is, you got that far and with
yeah.
just making your own thing.
Oh yeah, that game got me to that point. I wouldn't have gotten my job unless I was working on that game.
Yeah. Was it in Unreal, that game? I think you didn't talk about it as
Yes,
much.
it was a VR game in Unreal about archaeological sites in Lebanon. And
Wow, that's very specific.
yeah, I know you have to. That's the thing when you pick a game or something. I always pick it not because I want to build a game, but what is the market like? And VR and history made sense. So it was gamifying history and VR. And VR was a trend back then. So it was great market, big studio. It was too expensive for big studios to enter it. So the challenges and the playing field were more leveled. So you can actually compete with a AAA studio, because AAA studio will not spend, would not put up to 300 people on a project. They'll put like a small team on it. So you're
Yeah.
technically competing with that, and you had a chance, because if they put too much, they're not going to make the profit to justify it. The market is small enough.
Not everybody owns a VR headset, basically.
Yeah. So I guess even when I was doing the startup, I was doing not the game I want to build, but the game that made sense for the market.
Is there a game you want to build?
Mean, it exists and I play it, so why would I build it?
That is a very interesting perspective. Yeah. Because not, I don't think a lot of people have that perspective.
Yeah,
They would just go and try to re replicate that game they enjoy.
You enjoy it. Why dissect it? Leave it be.
I dissect it. Maybe for learning, I guess. I don't know. But I feel like if everybody said, "Yeah, I enjoy that game," I'm not gonna make it on my own. I feel like we're never gonna expand upon like the like if I enjoy Command and Conquer and I have ideas that would maybe expand on it and I never make a mod or anything, then you know.
I mean, Command and Conquer, I love it. I wouldn't build it, but I know, let's say if I find a new market that doesn't have an RTS game in it, then yeah, I would build an RTS game for
Is there a market that doesn't have
There's always a
RTS?
market. I mean, is there an RTS game in VR? Is there one in Roblox? Is there one in like, you know?
Roblox VR. There's none in VR that I know of.
I mean, one person was actually recreating Command and Conquer exactly.
Really?
And yeah, EA shut them down.
What happened? Sorry again.
EA shut them down. But to be fair, he was using identical art.
Okay.
Like, he was like literally just remaking the game.
Wow. I
Which.
wonder like what would even be the good thing about having it in VR because I can't
You can
imagine.
imagine standing and then looking at your base and then just like commanding the army from the top like God.
That could work or even huh. Now you're making me think about it. Could be
Yeah.
actually interesting to
There's
have.
a video probably somewhere of a guy
Send
doing
it
it.
over.
I will try to find it. But
Because
yeah.
I like when is it just a like a gimmick and when is it an actual feature that you have it in VR?
I mean, VR is amazing that just sometimes not having a game and just like being able to stand and see something makes it great. Like, you want to make a horror game, build a room that is dark, and that's already a horror game.
In a way, yeah. I can agree with that. But like VR horror is a next level of horror. It's not the normal, you know, couch game horror. It's really, it takes it to another level. I remember playing like Half-Life Alyx, and just looking at the zombies like that close was crazy. It really
Oh,
affected me. I was like, I can't look at this. I really can't look at this.
and it also has the sense of presence. Like, the first time you see a human, realistic human in VR that looks at you, it's just
It's so
frightening.
weird, right?
Yeah, it gives goosebumps. Like, it's
Yeah.
so yay, fun.
It is really fun. And
It is.
this video you send is like I could see the market for that, honestly.
Yeah, and that video is 9 years old.
9 years old? Wow. That is a
Yeah.
project I would love to work on. Damn. Ah, the teleporting. Okay. Like I was thinking, how would you do like the right click and move? That would make you super dizzy.
Well, I would say instead of moving, you what? Oh no, I don't know. I would just grab the world and drag it.
But that would. Ooh, but wait. What if you were not standing in the world, but you're seeing it like a table in front of you?
You can do that too as well. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not gonna design a VR game. Just saying,
No, we're not. We're
don't do
not.
a startup if you learned anything from what I said. But yeah.
My advice is do whatever the fuck you want, that's for sure. All right, man, listen, this has been a lot of fun. Let's talk still after that we close our thoughts here. And yep, if you enjoyed this, leave a comment and a like and share it with your friends. If you don't enjoy this, why are you still here? I don't have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for me. Joseph, is there still something you want to say?
Click the notification bell and I don't
Nah, I don't do that shit. All right, but everybody, have a good one. Salam.
All right.